I would logically infer that...
I need a bucket.
Yeah, hang on. That tonight you'd be wondering why there's a lot of names in the floor. Why there's a cross in the center instead of at the side.
There you go. Okay.
Go for gold.
Go for gold.
And then the stuff is covered. This was supposed to be put back down. I forgot.
That's fell on my part.
My OCD. Please. Mm-hmm. But tonight you're wondering why these names are here. I would say you would wonder why the cross is there. Because I usually always want the cross to be in your mind while I'm preaching. Because if this cross wasn't ever, if Jesus never got on that cross, if He never died for our sins, this is all meaningless and useless and I would quit. There would be no point in anything to do with our faith. But it is by His blood that we've been set free, and it is by His blood that I can have life and victory, that I can know that there is no penalty for my sins. It's been washed away. If I've been covered by His blood, I can stand in His life and freedom. And tonight, I'm going to talk about the lonely hill of Calvary. Tonight, I want to let you know something, that any time when we're in a service, don't you be afraid if we're in worship and you want to go get down on your face in the altar and cry out and pray to God. Don't you worry about what anyone else is doing. The only thing that matters is you and Jesus Christ in that moment. Don't you be afraid to worship. Don't you be afraid to pray. I don't care if someone's in the middle of the service and says, I just need to go and pray. I don't care if it's in the back, in the front, in the side. Just be open to what God is saying tonight. I know that tonight we might not have as many people as usual. And it's kind of like, well, where's everybody else? Somebody, that's me at least. Like, where do we go? There's a lot of things that could distract us. I tried to shut the windows so we'd be outside. Like,
if the trees are blowing wind.
I noticed that when I open the windows, people pay less attention. When I shut them, people pay more attention. So I'm kind of like that too.
It's like, I just saw a sparrow.
Could you pull the blind?
Yeah, I was about to say, I can still see it.
Now you can't.
No, I still can't.
Elijah, like, you problem child. You stop that. Matthew chapter 27. We like Jesus looking pretty, don't we? Who has seen a picture on a shirt, a picture that's commonly publicized with Jesus' side ripped up? Where His face is so disfigured that He doesn't really look like a person anymore. How many times have we seen Jesus? We see Him and He's nice and He's white. With a brown hair and blue eyes. And Jesus was not white. He was very, very tan. Usually I use Caleb Reeves to say, he is this skin tone. But He's not here, so I can't do it. So who's my darkest person in the place?
Me, Ross.
Ross.
Ross, your little Jesus wants to be. But tonight, I want you to know that Jesus' face, all these things like that. When we get to thinking about this cross, what do we think of? Shiny crucifixes upon our necks. But we don't see the reality of what the cross was. We don't see the part where His side, His back was ripped open, His face was cut up, where He was bleeding to the point of no return. The part where they would put a royal robe on Him and He would begin to create scabs and wounds and He'd begin to heal. Then they'd come rip it off of Him. And every single thing that had been done in His body to start healing was over within that moment. You see, we don't see that about Jesus, do we? We have this nice, pretty picture of what Christianity is. Christianity is go to church, pay my tithes, live happy, live free. No. It's go to your happy tree. That's not my Jesus. My Jesus' word says, if anyone who wants to follow me, he must take up his cross and deny himself and follow me. Whoever wants to hold on to his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will gain it. That is the essence of the cross of Jesus Christ. That's what this is about. That's what this time is that we sanction every Wednesday night about. It's about a cross. It's about a thing. But I'm here to tell you, let me give you a little picture of what it was like at Calvary's Hill. Let's look at Matthew chapter 27. At noon, the darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. About 3 o'clock, Jesus called out with a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. My God, why have you abandoned me? Is what it meant. Some of the bystanders misunderstood and thought he was calling for the prophet Elijah. One of them ran, filled a sponge with sour wine, holding it up to him on a reed stick so he could drink. But the rest said, wait, let's see if Elijah comes to save him. Then Jesus shouted again, released his spirit, indicating that he died. At that moment, moment, the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, rocks split apart, and tombs were opened. The bodies of many godly men and women who had died were raised from the dead. They left the cemetery after Jesus' resurrection, went into the holy city of Jerusalem, and appeared to many people. The Roman officer and the soldiers at the crucifixion were terrified by the earthquake and all that had happened, and they said, "This man was truly the Son of God." And many women who had come from Galilee, focus in right here, with Jesus to care for him, were watching from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of John, James and John, the son of Zebedee. How many people? 1, 2, 3. In the gospel account of John, we find that John was spoke to by Christ from the cross. "Mother, look at your son. Son, look at your mother." And entrusted his mother's care into her, into him. And other accounts would say that Peter possibly was standing from a distance. How many disciples did Jesus have? Anyone?
Well, 13 technically, if you count Judas. But
count Judas.
Before Judas was hanged. Mm-hmm.
So. And Matthias hadn't came into play yet.
So is it 11?
11 right now, but there's 13 total actually. We've got 11 right now. Jesus hangs himself, kills himself. Where are they at?
Hiding.
You follow someone for 3.5 years. You believe he's the Son of God. And when it comes time for him to die and to fulfill everything that he's ever said, where are you standing at? You're not at the cross. You're hiding like a coward and a fool. You see, they didn't want to be at the cross. The cross isn't a fun place. The cross is something that in church, and I'm going to talk about it tonight, and I'm not going to go forever. We're just going to get there for a little bit. But we don't want to talk about this in church. How many times do you go in church and you hear the reality of the bloody horror of the cross? And it's not like some... I know, we've got Passion of the Christ. I've never watched the movie. I'm not ever going to watch the movie. Because it doesn't do justice to the Word. Lord, you're my gift. No. My Jesus isn't based off some stupid movie. It's based off the Word of God. And I would hope that your perception of Christ and Christianity isn't on movies. It's on the Word. I'm not saying you can't watch it. Oh, it was so good. No, it's okay. Go watch a movie. It's all right, you know. But how many times will we hear about it? That was a lonely hill. You know, the hill stood outside Jerusalem, and it was a place that people could see. And actually, there's a couple things about the cross that really wasn't right. The fact that it was probably a tree with a roughly hewn beam. That when someone would stand upon a cross, if I was to stand up there, what happens is your body hangs, it makes it very hard to breathe. So every single time you would lift up and you would breathe, you see that there was nails through his ankles down in there, and that nail happened to go through one of the major nerves, and that you couldn't actually nail someone through the wrist, but you would have through their hand, you'd have to put it through the wrist so it wouldn't tear out. And so every single time, there's also a nerve right there that it happens to hit. So every time that you lift to breathe, every couple says, extremely excruciating pain goes through your body. We don't hear about that, do we? Oh no, it's fun. On the cross, yeah, I got it on my neck. Woohoo, got my bling up and hurt. But we don't see what he did. The cross wasn't as much about him, though. It's about you and what was done there. The fact that each and every single one of you were the reason why he got upon the cross. The fact that he tells us in Matthew chapter 16 what the cross really means to us. If any one of you wants to be my follower, this is verse 24, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up whose cross? Your cross. And follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? If any of you wants to be my follower, he must turn from his selfish ways, take up your cross, and follow me. What was the cross?
John, it was so shameful and disturbing. It was like saying the F word. They wouldn't even talk about it. That's how impactful that kind of death and that kind of situation was during that time. It was, they just didn't even talk about it, because if that was the punishment, then it was just kind of like you were just not coming anymore. You know? They didn't even want to talk about it.
Yeah, Sam.
Tied him up, and the thing is, they
it was more so sometimes in which nails weren't accessible. We know that Christ was actually nailed because all that it talks about. But sometimes when nails weren't available, they would bind the wrists. But when you're talking about the breathing, if you did the same movement, if you did this for 6 hours, your arm would get tired, wouldn't it? Ever? And your body eventually wore out and you suffocated. He died on the cross many times from that. And what Mike was talking about, this was the death of a horrible criminal. This was not. You look at like Paul who got beheaded. That's more of a, you know, nicer way. This isn't a fun thing. If you followed someone for 3 years and you believed he was your Messiah, where would you be when it was his time to die? I think our answer would, yes, sir.
They also dug the hole deeper than they needed to and dropped him down in there. Where it basically almost completely pushed him off from the cross, but the little part of the nail held him on there.
Yeah. It's not a fun thing. And I like that there's a somber tone in this room because this isn't something that we need to shout about. We need to really think about. We need to let it come home to us. And in the middle of all this, the hill was empty. Now, there was plenty of mockers. There was plenty of Roman soldiers. There was plenty of people who were there to make a mockery of his death. We know of 5 people, one of them possibly. And there's a couple others there. Where were they at? The lonely hill of Calvary. And tonight, that's where this all comes into play. You see, all these names up here are names of people that between us, that we knew about people that would come and lay their life at the foot of the cross, who took up their own cross and followed Him. You see, this thing is saying it's not something that you want to do. It's something that's going to cost you your everything. It's going to take some... I mean, just take that and put it on your life. Take up your cross. So if this costs you your everything, it's something that's going to hurt sometimes. It's something that's going to be hard. It's going to be something that's heavy to carry. But it's something that's going to give you life. That's what it's all about. And you see this right here. I've got names up here of people that either me or Burchfield, and this is just off the top of our head, people that we thought of that left everything at the foot of the cross. You see that when we come to Jesus Christ, we should lay down our everything. The Bible says, for you neither hot nor cold, yet you were...
warm.
I spit you out of my mouth. God would rather you be hot or cold, either get real or get fake, than be a lukewarm fence rider and live out for Him what He's wanting you to do. And you see, all these up here are people that we got thinking about. You said these are people that left their life at the foot of the cross. You see, Calvary's Hill is lonely because it's a place of death. And when we come to the place in our lives where Jesus says, I want you to take up my cross, it's empty. Out of 7 billion people, I wonder how many people really legitimately have left their life at the foot of the cross, picked up their cross and walked off with it. You see, the cross is the place of death. And when we come to the cross of Christ in our life, the question is asked, are you willing to leave your life at the foot of His cross, carry your own, and have life yourself? Are you going to choose not to acknowledge it and to hold on to your set excuse of an existence and never have true life? That is my question. You see, Wayne Hartford, a man, one of my best friend's dad, this man right here, he laid his everything at the foot of the cross 25 years ago, giving up alcohol. He was abusive to his children. Now this man has 6 grandchildren living for the Lord. He owns an aluminum shop. You'd never know him. He's not a preacher. He sits towards the back, but he loves his Lord. You walk in late at night, you know he's been praying and reading His Word. This man is alive who laid his life at the foot of the cross. I've got other names up here. We've got all kinds of people, Onesimus, James. We've got people who are biblical. We've got people we thought of across the thing. And the question tonight is, the hill is lonely, but my question to you is, have you laid your everything at the foot of the cross? Have you laid your everything there? Have you took up your cross and followed Him? Is your name... And you notice about these pieces of paper, every single one of them is laying on the ground. No, they're on the state. No, they're on the ground. They're not laying up sideways. They're not elevated. They're on the ground. Because my question to you is, do you really want to see this nation change? Do you really want to see your family change? Do you really want to be set free? You're saying, John, I've been dealing with depression, but it seems just like every single time I get a movement, I just fall right back into it. Maybe it's alcohol. I don't know what your bondage is, but you've been dealing with it for a long time. I would tell you a little secret. If you would just let go and let Him take control, lay your life at the foot of that cross, He'd set you free. And you would have true life. Tonight is a night of death and life. My question is to you, have you left your life at the foot of the cross of Jesus Christ? What would it look like if we had every single one of these people in this room to give their everything for the sake of the cross? One man. Paul. Two-thirds of the books of the New Testament. Planted churches all the way from Israel to Asia Minor into Rome. Millions. The churches that he planted stood for 600 to 700 years in Asia Minor. One of them growing to over 35,000 people. This one man, millions through history, by his testimony, came to Christ. Paul. James. First leader of the church, brother of Christ. This man was the very first leader of the very first church in Jerusalem. A lot of people think it was Peter, not it was James initially. Millions from his testimony. Peter's up here somewhere. Give the message the day of Pentecost. Millions. And it all started when they came to the point and they said, I don't want anything else. You see, in my life, I try to hold on to things. I don't want to let Jesus take control. I don't want to lay my life at the foot of His cross because that means I'm not in control anymore. Because it's comfortable when I can hold on to things. You know, when you've got everything in your hand, you're comfortable, but everything in your hand might be getting ripped because you just didn't let Him come in and do what He needed to do. You're never going to have freedom truly unless you come to Him. You're never going to have life unless you give it up. You're never going to get it unless you would just lay your life at the foot of the cross. Now, this is not the literal cross. These are literal names. This is a figurative thing. But I want you to get it into your mind. What are you doing with your life? Does He have you? Because the question is, when you die, is not, did you go to church? Did you give your money? Were you good? Did you listen to Christian music? Was Charles of Clay on your iPod? Oh, did you attend all the church services, FCAs, and Young Life meetings in your county? No, it's, did you know Me? Do you know Jesus tonight? Is He the one who has your everything? Is He the one that your life is laid at His feet? Is He the place where you've laid your everything at? And if you have one inch of this life, you're not submitted. Only when everything is out on the line. And you're like, John, you preach this 10 times. Because we haven't got it as a youth ministry. We can't get to walking in the Word. We can't get to walking in prayer until we get to the place where we've all been submitted. And I tell you, 3 disciples of the inner circle, and out of the 11, do you know that the whole world was changed for those disciples? That we're standing here because they laid their everything at the foot of that cross. 2,000 years later, we're standing. Oh, they say almost 1 billion Christians worldwide because of 12 people. And my question is to you, what would it look like if you sold out? What would it look like if you put your name down and said, it's done? You see, what you've got to recognize is Jesus' cross and His blood signed the bill for revival. It signed the bill for the whole world to get saved. It's been marked. All you got to show up is and take it. Tonight, what is leaving your life at the foot of the cross? It's laying everything down in such a way that you can never pick it up again. Mike Whitehead, right back there. Ex-drug addict. He shared some testimony about you guys just before. And that man, 5-6 years ago, came to Jesus and he laid everything down in such a way that he could never go back. I find it funny that Christians come to the church and then go back to their old ways. They were never submitted in the first place. Do you know what a life led at the foot of the cross looks like? That you can never go back to your past. That the only thing to do is to live in Him. And if you're not submitted, 100% you're not submitted at all. You want the blessings of God. You want the anointing of God. You want your school saved. If you don't submit, forget it. God's not going to bless you. I'm sorry. He'll go to someone who's wanting to be submitted. Tonight, how do you do it? How do you give your everything? How do you lay your life at the foot of the cross? Why is this called the Lonely Hill? Because so few people ever choose to do it. Most people will sit in a church, live their entire life, die, go to heaven, and never have a single person go with them. You just let go. Like you're falling off into the water. You just let Him have it. And He'll take you places you never dreamed. Tonight, we need to come back to the place of the cross. Next Wednesday night, we're going to finish this up. But my question to you is, have you gave your everything? Or have you held back an inch. Let's stand on up. We're going to be dismissed tonight. Tonight I have paper and markers. Look, that's kind of cheesy. I don't think it is. No one in this room, short of the adults, has your name wrote up here. Now, this is something that's figurative, but it's something that can be spiritual. My question to you is, when you leave this place tonight, does He have your everything? Is your life laid at the foot of His cross in such a way that it will never be returned to you again? Because I tell you, the moment that you would just let go and let Him have your life, He would rush into your life. He would give you true life, set you free, bust off the chains that have held you down for maybe 10 years. Let you walk in the freedom and life that He has for you. And you would never, ever have to worry about life again. Not in the context like everything just magically fell out of the sky. But your life would be set right. Now, I'm not saying problems don't come, guys. Problems come as Christians. I'll tell you that right now. But when you're not alone anymore and someone is guiding your life and leading it, there's such a freedom in that moment. It just comes in.